Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of the prophet Joel. Speaking through Joel, God says, "Then afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire, columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts. It's the account of the coming of the Holy Spirit during the Feast of Pentecost. It may be a familiar story to you, but listen and ask that the Spirit helps bring you new meanings or new appreciations of this old account. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. There were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My original plan for this sermon was to ask, what does Pentecost mean? Then I periodically refer to Bob Dylan's song, "The Answer Is Blowing in the Wind," as I explored that. And then would come that usual mix of, oh, it's a birthday of the church, the Holy Spirit still comes, what are our dreams and visions for our lives and the church? And it will still be part of that in the sermon. But guess what? The Spirit is still working to bring new visions even to old preachers, even after things have been turned in for the bulletin. And the sermon morphed, in effect, into a new and bigger framework. Pentecost, that festival with roots in the Old Testament, which we celebrate today, particularly for the account in the book of Acts, relates an ancient story, reports speaking in different tongues, and depicts in effect, a kind of baptism, a baptism of the Spirit. But you may not realize that in the larger context of Jesus having ascended to heaven, said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, but also promising that he would come again in glory, Pentecost, that the festival we celebrate today, is also a celebration, in a way, of the last days. Not that it means the world is going to end tomorrow. We don't need all to take sandwich boards out onto the streets saying the end is near. But the account of Pentecost, I began to realize through the week, really is a tale of new creation, about God beginning already to remake the world in which we live. Pentecost celebrates all things being made as God intends. That image of a last day in Joel speaks to this. And it will be a time that the world is set aright, and it's a next step towards the fulfillment of that kingdom's coming through Christ. Doesn't bring it yet, it doesn't excuse us from being active as the hands and feet of Christ in the world. But it is, in addition to that, a deeply symbolic account, drawing from a vision of the cosmos that those who first read of this in the book of Acts, written by Luke, would have recognized. Because one way or another, Luke works into the way he recounts this. Four ancient symbols, four elements believed to make up the universe to reveal a story of God's miraculous recreation. Because as the further into the week I went, I realized not only is the answer blowing in the wind, it is flowing in the water, blazing in the fire, and as stable as the earth. And the four elements of wind, water, fire, and earth are among the more pervasive symbols of creation in world spiritual traditions. The Greeks spread this idea throughout the Mediterranean centuries before Luke wrote his account. And many cultures embraced the symbolism that the whole of creation could be gathered up in those four things. Luke's account of Pentecost, I believe, is a Christian reweaving of this Greek understanding of creation, a story of deep human connection and of how God recreates each one of us and the recreation of the world through the Holy Spirit. So let me take the symbolic elements one by one. I'm going to start with wind because that's the first that Luke mentions, a rush of a violent wind. And the clouds and storms and wind we experience in life testify to the power. The wind rushes in, not just gently as a breeze, but as violently as a storm wind, shaking everybody up, blowing the apostles out into the marketplace. As one commentator has said, a better name for the holiday might be Pentechaos. And not only does it impact the disciples then, the image of the Pentecost wind harkens back to the creation account in Genesis, where the wind of God hovers over the waters before creation begins. And I imagine this wind of creation was also a roaring wind, stirring all things, whipping the waters, separating the sky from the earth. God's wind is a storm of creativity, then at the Pentecost in the book of Acts and even now. It's the roar and rush of divine breath bringing forth life. For biblically, breath is life. The wind announces that Pentecost is in part a moment of recreation. God breathes divine intention upon the world. God's breath extends Christ's life, who is now risen to heaven, extends it among us, enabling us to experience God's power and presence and then share it to the world around us. Later, after the part of the book, the story in Acts that I read, it ends with Paul inviting people to be baptized in water. So I want to take the water image next. It is a main element of baptism, and it was an image for Jesus, the one who quenches our thirst. In the book of John, Jesus was at the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem in a year before his final death. And Jesus was standing among the crowd during his earthly life, and on the last day of the Pentecost celebration taught them, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. For as the scripture said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Out of the believer's heart on the Pentecost account in Act flowed rivers of the Spirit, enabling the word to be preached and share in the living waters. And then Peter, again, as I said, concluded by inviting people to be baptized, entering the waters of faith. So Pentecost is not only a day of wind, it is a day of water. Water cleanses, water quenches. Waters are necessary for human survival in so many ways, from the daily act of turning a tap or for others going to a well for water, providing a place for the growth of fish which we eat, generating power in hydroelectric stations. The balance water provides us and the entire ecosystem with a way of life and deserves to be treated well. Water is indeed humble, but is precious, irreplaceable, and is the fountain of life. And the water of Pentecost is the river of God, the water poured out by God that washes us clean, relieves our thirst, and experienced in baptism. Finally, I'll get to fire, because that is a prominent image on Pentecost. It's why people are encouraged to wear red, and the paraments in the church are red. It's the most dramatic element of the Pentecost story, with tongues of flame appearing above the heads of those gathered as God's wind rushed in. Fire is an element of illumination, of purification, of passion. Fire burns things in its path. But as we've grown to understand, it can be a necessary part of nature's cycle. Even as fire destroys, it clears what is overgrown forest so that new life, new sprouts, a new forest may grow. Fire consumes and makes room for a new creation, literally or symbolically. Fire is also beautiful and compelling. Witness the growth of the enjoyment of fire pits on people's patios. It is frightening and cheerful, capable of destruction, necessary for warmth and for preparing food. In creation, fire pushes upward to the heavens, making the land on which we stand today, creating soils in which we grow our food. The fire of Pentecost is God's passion, burning and creating, purifying and illuminating. It is the flame that both frightens us and invites us to experience the power of God. Earth is not the most obviously stated element of Pentecost, but let me suggest it's represented by the crowd whose presence represented the known world of the time, gathered from many nations to the feast. And all the people mentioned in the story, Jews, Libyans, Parthians, Egyptians, Pamphylians, and all those other names which lay readers don't like to have to deal with on Pentecost Sunday. All of these people and all of us, remember, are made of the earth, made of dust, as told in Genesis, and what we know in experience, and all return to earth, return to dust, in the shared fate of all physical creatures. To these children of Mother Earth, the Pentecost comes, as God, the one of wind, water, and flame, is also the God of Earth's children, a creator, mothering God, as Scripture also describes it. Yes, Pentecost is the next step in the story of the last days between Jesus' ascension and his coming again, but it is not and never was meant to be the end kind of a reading. I think reading Pentecost through the lenses of these ancient symbols reveals the opposite to it being an ending. It means God has escaped the reaches of heaven and has come to make a home with us here on earth through the Spirit, no less than God did with the birth of Christ. Pentecost is a story of creation, where wind, water, fire, and earth form a new world. Thus, these days, last days, are not days of violent destruction. This part of the last day are only a day to mark destruction of what God opposes as we are set out to be Christ's hands and feet in the world and to continue to work for and carry the good news. It is a time that we are to share in the destruction of all that God opposes, oppression, injustice, violence, cruelty, poverty, inequality. These are the days in which we help reduce the distance between God and between us. The Spirit has made us the body of Christ, for in this period of time, in effect, Christ has gone to do his work from home. But thankfully, we are Jesus' own people, and the Spirit indwells. God is near with and within us. Let me include a prayer here by Alan Patterson about how we are to be impacted by Pentecost. Let us pray. Threatening, gusting, turbulent spirit, no one has described us as being on fire recently. It's hard to remember when last we were blown away. We are better practiced at doing sober and respectable, and even letting our hair down, we do in staid and contrived ways. Have we successfully excluded you from our Christianity? Are we so far beyond prophesying, dreaming dreams, and seeing visions that we present a mild and managed church to the world, to our children, to ourselves, and in the service of the kingdom? It can be hard for a 2,000-year-old church to be spontaneous, for an institution to become a movement again in a very different world. So we need you all the more. Blow through our petty habits and costly rituals. Inflame in us dreams of a new heaven and a new earth. Your church has called you comforter, sustainer, advocate, champion, and be known to us again. Be the source of our courage. Stir our appetite for righteousness. Make compassion our companion. Come, life-giving Spirit. Amen. So happy Pentecost. Happy new day of new creation. Amen.